Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Y'all worried about Christian McCaffrey now? How about now?
They're gonna go
8-0 without Christian. We don't need no Christian. This offense, man, you just turn the key. It's like a little ignition. Just turns on and it goes. They've got absolutely everything they need. How many third downs did they convert yesterday, Dibs? Two?
Two.
A deuce. That's actually what they dropped on the field, actually.
Okay, that's a four. And that's not usually your lane.
Yeah.
Which is why it's not a three. It's a four because you don't normally do mean-spirited, but that was good.
Well, I got to get the frustration out somehow. That was a very frustrating game to watch. However, I do think less frustrating than some other losses. We're going to open up to you right now, by the way. Same as the other shows. Everything's wide open today for you. Okay? Why'd they lose? Go ahead. Point to one thing, two things. What is it? Why did the 49ers lose yesterday?
Kyle Shanahan.
888. Well, he is the coach. 888-957-9570. You know what? I walk away from this loss that's better than other losses. Do you remember the Super Bowl last year? Do you remember that game?
Stop it.
No, but do you remember it?
Of course.
Did you watch that game?
I watched it 8 times.
All right. Remember what everyone said then and still says today?
Kyle Shanahan.
Not just that, but they should have won. Not yesterday. That's not a should have won. You got beat. You got beat here. You got beat there. You got beat everywhere.
Dr. Seuss.
Offense, defense, special teams, coaching. Did I miss anything?
You missed one thing.
What's that?
One man. One man gave you probably, 14 points to the good. Fred Warner.
Fred.
Peanut punch at the two. That saved you seven. Pick at the 15 or 18 yard line. That saved you at least three, maybe seven more.
Maybe.
And I think that this is where you're going with this. If Fred Warner maybe had a tummy ache or a sprained toe or, God forbid, COVID from 4 years back, you lose that game 34-10.
Correct.
So,
correct.
Yes, I'm kind of with you.
You got outplayed.
He didn't get outplayed.
No.
There was two 49ers were dominant in that game. Jordan Mason and Fred Warner.
I'm going to give Debo a little hey, how you doing also.
Fair enough.
I'm going to give Debo a little
Debo
hey, how
you
doing.
Debo was great.
Yeah.
Debo,
yeah.
That's about Fred, it, and Jordan. So 3 of 22.
And Nick was good enough. He was good enough.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah.
I thought he was better than good enough.
Yeah,
but
he was,
parse that out with Greg Cosell on Wednesday.
Right. I'm not going to bed last night being like, Nick. Not like, there's a bunch of stuff.
But
there's
if you wanted to rank the top 10 players on that field, those four that we just mentioned are probably in the top 10, but the other six, and if you go to a top 15, the other 11 were all Vikings.
Yeah, and they're probably Vikings that you haven't even heard of. They're certainly not on your
Van
fantasy team.
Van Stinkin' Ginkle.
Yeah, Van Stinkle.
Dude.
And look, all the people.
Chandler.
He was good. All the big fat guys. All the fat guys.
Wow.
I'm not trying to body shame them, but they were good.
I like it.
Everybody who...
I like an edgy Willard.
Everyone north of 250 pounds was better on the Vikings than they were on the Niners. You got outplayed. And you know what? That's not the end of the world. Like, that happens. But I got two, if you really want to zero in on two things to me, and they're related. So make them one and one A. 888-957-9570. We're going to go to the phones here real quick today, okay? So line them up. Why, in your mind, did the Niners lose? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls right now. Play the thing, Grandy. Play the horn.
Don't do it.
No, play the horn.
Skull.
That's why you lost.
Because Skull?
Yeah.
Because that damn horn?
They play that on third down. You sucked on third down. You absolutely stunk on third down. Now, here is my attached reason. Christian McCaffrey not playing is a problem. You're still good. You're not as special. You're not as special. And by the way, that's okay too. We play this game in sports radio in the Bay Area because the football team is really good. We've been doing this for a year and a half. Well, if we had to lose one player, who would it be? And totally. How would you, like, we play this game. The bottom line is there's a bunch of guys on the field there that if you don't have them, the Niners are not quite as special. So Christian McCaffrey is one of those people. And if you are specifically struggling when it's 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3, and 3rd-and-4, I happen to believe that McCaffrey, of how many did they not convert? 8? He converts 3 of those. His presence converts 3 of those because he's a matchup nightmare in situations like that. And does that change the game? Maybe. Maybe, maybe not. But that's what I was focused on. You got beat in the trenches. Therefore, you were not good on third down. And Christian McCaffrey's absence has a lot to do with that. And yesterday will serve as a reason for 49er fans to stop thinking that the Niners are just going to cruise through the entire schedule without Christian McCaffrey winning all the games.
Well, there's no cruising through for anybody in the NFL. And that's, I think, one way we have to all start to look at it. Because as I mentioned in the crossover, if the over-under is 11.5 and you like the over, that means they're 12-5. That means 5 teams beat them. If you like the under, 11-6, that means 6 teams beat them. Whatever your number is, I don't think anybody is expecting 17-0, so you're going to lose games. Yep. But I think looking at yesterday, it's how you lost it. And you mentioned McCaffrey, and you're right. And McCaffrey, in many ways, is like Steph Curry in the gravity. If you have McCaffrey on 3rd-and-short, well, now you have McCaffrey in the run, McCaffrey in the pass, and that frees up a lot of other guys to maybe get one-on-one coverage. And when you have Jordan Mason, he's a great runner, but Steiny was right when he said he's probably an 8 out of 10 as a runner and a 2 out of 10 as a receiver. So when you don't have that threat on the field and it's 3rd-and-3, 3rd-and-4, defensively, you don't have to worry about having to defend him in the pass game.
Yeah, I think he worked on it all offseason. He can do it. He was good in pass protection yesterday,
yep.
I thought.
Yep.
He was fine. But yes, those little matchups of put him out there on a linebacker on 3rd-and-3 and there's not a damn thing the defense can do, that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It's going to be harder. Like, it doesn't mean they can't do it. That's my one sentence. It's going to be harder without Christian. And yes, I would predict at least week 7. At least week 7. Maybe week 10.
For McCaffrey.
Yes.
Oh, I'm thinking after the bye.
That's week 10.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I think that makes the most sense because then you get him max rest. And, you know, you hope at that point after week 9, whatever, you'd have 8 games in the books. Maybe you're 5-3 and you figure, okay, let's make this push for the playoffs with a fresh McCaffrey. But in the meantime, you need another running back because Garendo, I'm not giving up on the kid after one carry.
Yeah, give him more than one carry, can we? Can we give him more than one carry where, by the way, there was no hole?
Mark, it's not about me giving him more than one carry. Would they have given him more than one carry?
I don't know.
The one carry I saw, and I saw it the way that Kyle saw it, which was, my God.
Do you know that Kyle saw it that way?
He didn't put him in again.
He also didn't run the ball a ton in the second half because
the kid got one snap.
I understand that, but the bottom line is the 49ers on Monday night were playing from ahead, and yesterday they were playing from behind.
Right.
And that changes play calling. And Jordan Mason was not gashing the Vikings in the second half. He was in the first. He was not in the second. They were clubbing that up because they were doing what teams are going to do to the Niners, especially without Christian. Hey, Brock, what you got? what you got, dude. And the bottom line is if he doesn't have time, it's not going to look perfect. That's true for every single quarterback in the league. Brock didn't have a great game yesterday. It wasn't as disastrous as people want to make it out to be, because people only want to look at the, oh, Sam Darnold outplayed Brock Purdy. They're not playing each other. You can only outplay someone if you're playing on the exact same playing field. Sam Darnold had way more time. Sam was good. Brock was not. But, like, yeah, that's what defenses are going to do. And I love what Brock said to Brian Flores. Give Brian Flores credit. For those of you who don't know what he said, he went over to him. He was heard over microphones after the game and went, dude, your scheme was crazy. In other words, like, good job. Good job. That was hard. That was hard. And you got us. And they did.
Yeah, they did. And the O-line gave up 6 sacks, and Brock Purdy had 2 pretty bad turnovers. A pick inside his own negative red zone, and a fumble that was, you know, the kind of play that you cannot make.
Well, that was just weird. Did your eyes dart the way mine did? I was like, where'd the ball go?
Right.
Like, I mean?
My tipped. Eyes. I thought it was a tip pass.
Totally.
And then you watch the replay, totally. And it was like, ooh, that was a straight up, like,
whoops. It wasn't even a pass. It was a fumble.
No, it's a total squirt out of the hand, and then
squirt.
That's right. Dan Dibley here, squirt.
Yep.
But, you know, either way, and I just was running the numbers, and Jordan Mason, I think, had 18 yards after halftime, and a lot of it's because they abandoned it, but also the Viking scheme and the Niner O-line. And I look forward to Grandy's grades tomorrow to see exactly where he will grade everyone, because something about Grandy in a loss, he gets a chance to drop the hammer on people.
Which he likes, by the way.
He does, secretly.
No, look, I know you don't like
the fist of Grandy.
You don't like that the Niners lost.
Correct.
But there's like a little twinkle in your eye that you can't see because you're you. But that we like you're ready. You're champing at the bit.
We'll find out tomorrow. But when it comes to grades, it's like an A plus is extremely rare, and F should also be extremely rare.
That's fair. That F is for fair. That's fine. Yeah. I've no issue with that.
F is for a lot of things.
I would guess, since Fred Warner is not a position group, you know, maybe you'll do the linebackers, or do we do the front seven?
Front seven.
Front seven. Okay.
And like, I actually sent him a tweet. I said, can we grade him separately, please? Can we have a separate Fred Warner category for the week?
I would guess that would be the only good grade if you could.
Correct.
Like, no one's going to get a good grade.
Yeah, I had people on the postgame show last night say, Warner, Bosa, Kittle get A's. Everyone else gets F's.
Well, Mason and Debo do not get
F's. Mason and Debo, sure.
Mason and Debo do not get F's. But I hear you. No position group's going to get a good grade.
Yeah.
Quarterback, no. You know, coaching, no. Front seven, no. Secondary, good God.
Man.
Special teams, holy hell.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody.
And yet you lost by 6.
And you lost by 6.
I do want to, like, make sure that you and I, and whatever, you're always positive anyway, but for me,
I thought yesterday was great.
Even you won't go there. But
nah, it sucked, dude.
As I look at it, all the things that I'm thinking about, and I just watched it again today on my, you know, I got here to work early and I watched it during the morning. And the more I watched it, the more you realize they should have lost by 20.
Probably.
They probably should have lost by 20 points.
Well,
but you lost only by 6.
Yeah,
so there were some positives.
They fumbled at the one. They fumbled at the one. You know, you didn't go in on 4th and 2. Like, it comes down to a few plays.
Yep.
Could have made it a 20-point loss. Hell, they could have won. They could have won.
Yep.
They get off the field on that long 3rd and 8. They could have won.
Really quick before you go to break, an update from Sean McVay and the Rams. Cooper Kupp is going to miss an extended period of time and is an IR candidate.
Wow. Okay. Both receivers.
And multiple offensive linemen.
How about your fantasy debate? Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua? How about neither? The Niners have, look, we got all week to get into it.
Dude, McCaffrey, your first overall.
But the Niners have no excuse this weekend. They have no receivers. They have no offensive line. You saw what the Cardinals did to them yesterday. You know how to take over that stadium. The Niners should win by double digits this weekend.
Spread 7.5.
Yeah, and it started at 5.5. And everybody knew right away. Bet that sucker up. Get it up. Sponsored by Lucky California, your phone calls. Here we go. Those of you on hold, we're coming to you. Got some open spots. Why, in your mind, did the 49ers lose yesterday? 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, big limping is what the Niners are doing out of Minnesota. So are you, by the way. So are you.
Yep.
Sorry to hear that that your knee is flaring up a little bit.
It's all right. A little flare up yesterday at the Farmer Market. At the Farmer Market.
That explained to people why you say it like
that. Hey, Myla, my two-year-old, where do you want to go today? Farmer Market. You want to go to the Farmer Market?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we went to the Farmer Market.
Farmer Market.
And she's a runner, so when she starts to run, I have to run, and it was a little bit of a, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, yeah, when you can't catch a two-year-old.
You're an old dad.
Yeah, it's time to
grandpa daddy.
Time to call the doctor. But anyway,
time to call the adoption center.
888-957-9570. Let's hear from everybody. Okay, why do you think the Niners lost this one? Where is your focus, Jonathan, in the city? First up here on Willie and Dibby. Hi, Jonathan. What's good?
You know, especially after a loss like that. Hey, let me tell you, man. I'm going to tell you guys again. This 49ers, this Kyle Shanahan team, they're repeat offenders. How'd they lose to the Minnesota Vikings last year? If you watch those two games, you can't tell which from which. Didn't they give up a big play just before the half last year? Same way they give up a big play, 97-yarder to JJ. And it doesn't matter who the defensive coordinator is. They just seem to just let the number one weapon another team go about his business. The coverage on special teams is trash. And aside from a few guys like Fred Warner, they're all trash. And correct me if I'm wrong. The book might be out on Purdy. I mean, what do you do against Purdy? You crowd the line of scrimmage with four, five, six guys, and not necessarily everybody's coming. And the guys that would drop coverage, they would drop right in the middle of the field. You know why? Because that's the Brock Purdy bread and butter.
So, Jonathan, so can I ask? Jonathan, I want to interrupt you because I want to ask you a question because you're a good friend of the show. And like, with full understanding of the frustration that fans feel, you're doing exactly what, in my opinion, I don't really understand why this happens after games. You just called almost every player on the team trash. Did you feel that way Tuesday morning last week?
Well, I've been feeling the same way since they lost the Super Bowl.
Okay.
You know?
So the Niners, Jonathan, like, are you speaking from emotion or this is what you think? The Niners and the majority of the players on this team are trash.
No, I'm not saying that, but it seemed like when they're put in a jam, they don't have an adjustment. And that drives me nuts. I mean, as a genius, as Kyle is, how come when he's put in a jam, they can't do anything else? You know, like, oh, we're put in a jam because that guy missed a block. Just a bunch of excuses. It's still dealing with it.
Yeah, Jonathan, thank you very much. I mean, that I can hear. I didn't love that there wasn't seemingly a, and I don't want to say there wasn't a better game plan, because sometimes, again, you and I talked about this, I don't want the Niners and their fan base to sound like a Serena Williams press conference. And here's what I mean by that, because Serena is wonderful. She's the greatest tennis player I've ever seen in my entire life. But Serena Williams, and maybe she's right to do this, Serena was so good that her press conferences after matches, if she ever lost, were always about her. If you lose, it's because something you did wrong. Period. Never, ever, ever did you just get outplayed. And I was also frustrated that the Niners did not have a game plan that seemed to be working. But I don't want to make that solely about Kyle Shanahan and Nick Sorensen. Like, the Vikings had a game plan too, and they had players to go execute. And I thought they did a really good job. A really good job. And so that can be totally frustrating. But I'm going to, every single one of you that calls today, if you want to do this, like, on Tuesday, the Niners were Super Bowl favorites, and then 6 days later, Kyle sucks and Brock sucks and the Niners are frauds. Like, come on, man. Do you know how many of the top favorites in weeks one and two lost their game outright? More than half of the most favored teams in the... It's why all of you are out of your survivor pool. You're all gone.
They're all gone.
The Bengals lost, and the Ravens lost, and the Niners lost, and the Lions lost, 7.5-point favorites. You're all gone, unless you bet against the whoever the Panthers are playing. Those are the only people left. So what? Everyone's trash? I don't know, man. Like, I would love to focus on the frustration of this game without moving all the way down the road of the Niners are now a horrible football team and they're fraudulent.
And I look forward to the new power rankings that come out from whatever source, because after week one, the Niners were either number one or number two alongside Kansas City. And Kansas City's 2-0, so they'll be number one. But if you want to look at all the teams in the NFL, you got Pittsburgh at 2-0, and there are 9 2-0 teams right now, Mark. So is Pittsburgh now suddenly one of the 9 best teams in football, even though they didn't score a touchdown in week one?
Not according to Vegas.
I believe they have one touchdown on the year, and yet they're 2-0, which you can't be better than 2-0 after two games. But do we suddenly reconfigure our power rankings? And so the Niners are 1-1, so now at best they're the 10th best team in football. I don't want to overreact to what I saw yesterday. I do think that there are things that you saw yesterday that are troubling.
Sure.
And for me, the Ayuk Trent rust is a thing. The lack of a backup running back is a thing. And, you know, you want to look at other issues. The pass rush has not been terribly effective.
Christian is not going to be back anytime soon.
Right.
Is a thing. Like, it's a thing.
It is.
I think everybody's expectations should probably move a little bit. I mean, we said for a year, well, the Niners would never do anything without Christian. Now he's gone. We had one good game, and everyone's like, I don't need Christian. No, you do. You need Christian McCaffrey. It doesn't mean that the season's over if he never comes back, or if he doesn't come back for half of it. Doesn't mean the season's over, but I don't find them to be as dominant.
Of course.
And I don't find that to be some sort of shot at Christian McCaffrey. If the Vikings lose Justin Jefferson for a period of time, that's not as good of a team. The Rams, you'll see them this week, lost both of their star receivers. Not as good of a team. How's Miami doing next week? How are we doing? Is that going to go well? The Chiefs just
How's Green Bay doing without
Green Bay?
Pretty damn good.
They won. Everyone thought they were going to lose, though. They're dogs in their home opener at Lambeau Field. You know who the favorite is now in the NFC to win the Super Bowl? Or to come out of the NFC for the Super Bowl?
Is it Philly?
No, it's the Niners.
Still.
yes.
Yeah, we'll see after tonight if Philly wins. But yeah, your point is well taken.
Philly will not, it's not even close. Philly will not, if they win tonight, pass the Niners. They might move up a few points.
Well, and these odds are looking at the long play.
Yes.
And you're expecting McCaffrey to come back. And you're expecting Trent and Brandon Ayuk to shake off rust and all those other things. But in the short look at what happened yesterday, it was a little bit of a shock to the system. The fact that Ayuk, again, week two, really a non-factor. Trent Williams gave up 4 pressures, and Trent looked old and stiff and slow. This is not the dominant Trent Williams that we're used to seeing. Minnesota's defensive front owned the Niners O-line.
They were much better. They were much, much better. And by the way, same on the other side of the ball.
Right.
The Vikings offense, I know Nick was solid, good, whatever word you want to use.
He was really good.
He was good.
He was good.
He was good. But
he was a lone wolf.
Yeah, but the rest of the defensive line wasn't, and the bottom line was they did not get home. They did not get home nearly enough on Sam Darnold. And I give the Vikings offensive line a truckload of credit for that. When I hear Fred Warner say that the Justin Jefferson play was basically his fault, which Fred, no, it wasn't. But you still love hearing stuff like this.
We're in a man coverage blitz. I was one of the guys that was blitzing, and I got to get home to get some pressure on Sam. You know, he's able to step up in the pocket and deliver a great ball to Justin, and we just got to find a way to get him down right there.
Okay. You blitzed. You didn't get there. You got beat. You got beat. So, yeah.
That's leadership.
It's leadership.
I mean,
he's awesome.
Because honestly,
he's the best.
Yeah, you know, I need to be better on that play. No, Fred, that wasn't on you. It was on Odom, who got benched, and it was on Jair Brown, who took a bad route. And, you know.
Keep going.
Well, and.
You want to know who Richard Sherman blames? He's played defensive back for this team.
Mooney Ward?
Richard Sherman podcast.
They allowed him to throw a 97-yard touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. Unacceptable, no matter what part of the game you're in, no matter what situation, no matter if it's backed up, whatever the situation is. You got two safeties guarding Justin Jefferson. He split the defense. You should never put those guys in that situation. He should be doubled at all times. He's the best player on their football team. He's not a guy that you should let loose or not have an eye on or say, oh, they're going to run the ball. Let them run the ball. Let them run the ball in that situation. Too deep. We stopped Justin Jefferson. They ran a play like that in week one, had some success. It was a post corner to Justin Jefferson, had some success. This week it was a corner post, and he was able to get behind the defense. Sam Darnold threw a beautiful football for the 97-yard touchdown.
Okay, so he's blaming the coaches. So it's a bad setup. The other thing I'd like to point out is the Niners should sign the ref immediately. That was the fastest referee I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm so glad you're mentioning
did
this.
Did you see that guy run?
Not only did he run.
It was incredible.
But he stops, and then he sprints again, and then I don't know if you like
gets out of the way.
But he flips his hips, yep. And he backpedals into the end zone.
Dude, I have no idea how that guy's legs are still attached to his body.
I'm so glad you pointed that out, because I've watched the replay like
everything.
Seven times, and I'm like, dude. Who is that ref? Nimble and
yeah,
fast.
I hate referee dibs. Yeah. No, this wow, one I like.
And Mark took the lead, yeah.
I like this one. This one's funny. This one's funny. Xfinity Mobile text line, 510. Last year, Bosa blamed Wilkes for a play like that. This was not a play like that. I just want everyone to, like, that's my perspective. That was a zero blitz, what happened in the game last year. And Charvarius Ward should have intercepted the ball. But he didn't. But that's a poor play call. This is a different poor play call, if you will. But this was not an all-out blitz where you left Justin Jefferson one-on-one. What Richard is pointing out is you let him get a free run off the line. And he's the best receiver in football. And safeties don't run like that. You can't, like, that only works, to Fred's point, if you get home. You have to get home. And the Viking offensive line beat you. They beat you. They created time. And Sam delivered a beautiful ball to the best receiver in the game. And it went for 97 yards, and you lose, dog.
Yeah.
That's how you lose.
That's a big way in how you lose. I mean, you already didn't score inside the red zone, which is crushing, and then you give up a quick seven the other way, and yet they still had chances to come back and right the ship. They had so many more chances after that. And,
sure.
You know, you think about just the first half mistakes, that one, and, you know, a questionable play call on fourth and two and a block punt and all the rest of it, and yet you still were only down 13-7 at the half.
Were you bothered not by the play call, fourth and two at the goal line, but just that he went for it? Were you bothered that he went for it?
I was not bothered. I was a little bit irked, not quite annoyed.
Surprised?
Yeah, surprised. And for me, at that spot where you're only down 3-0, you take the three. And you take the three and you go out there and, you know, it's a tie game and you live to fight another day. I didn't feel like that was the level of desperation, but I know this. Analytics will tell you fourth and goal from the two is one that you should go for. Now, if you're at the three or the four, certainly at the 5 yard line, they would have kicked it. So you get to the 2 yard line and it becomes like analytics will tell you that you're supposed to go for
it. It's almost like the world is challenging your manhood if you don't. Like,
exactly.
It's just like automatic now. You just go for it.
From the two.
From the two.
But if you're at the four,
they're a little inside the two.
Yeah. If you're at the four, do you go? If you're at the three, is it a tweener?
Yeah.
That's where I, like, analytics, I think, has somehow taken over. And
maybe I'm a weirdo on this. I actually liked the play call. I thought it was going to work. And who's your boy? Is it Van Ginkle?
Yep.
Yeah. He got a fingertip on it. But that was going to be a touchdown if he doesn't get a fingertip.
Beating Trent Williams.
Well, he just jumped up. He didn't He didn't get around him. He just jumped. It was well timed. It was a good play. But Juwan Jennings, that ball was thrown to his chest, and he was going to catch a touchdown if Ginkle doesn't get there, or Van Ginkle, or whoever the hell he is.
Interesting you make
that point. That was my view of it.
Yes, my view was, I think the previous play, or maybe it was two plays before, where he threw it to Ayuk, and Ayuk caught it, but he was out of bounds in the left end zone.
Yes.
Juwan Jennings was by himself at the 5 yard line. If Brock Purdy just checks it down,
you're absolutely
I'm not
right.
saying he scores.
No, but
he was open.
He waited too long.
One man to beat.
Yep. But you had to do it right away, and he didn't do it right away. Then it closed up.
He was locked on Ayuk. If he just would have dumped it off,
I agree with you.
Jennings might have had a chance to, you know, wiggle jiggle and get down and score.
And he's huge. Like, I would love his chances. Get a little going behind him. He probably would have gotten in, just like he did in the Super Bowl.
What about the 4th and 3 earlier in the drive from near midfield?
That one.
Fantastic to Jennings.
Yeah, like that was one of Brock's best throws of the game.
Yep.
But in terms of decisions from Shanahan, what do you think?
Mildly surprised. But I thought in the moment when it was set up 4th and 3, that's another sort of thing that they do in the NFL now. Like, if you're just out of field goal range, you go for it. Here's how I read those things.
They were at the 45.
Yeah. I read those things as Kyle really, at that moment in the game, really trusted his defense. And as it turned out later in the game, that burned him. Like, you go for it. In fact, he even said, you're going for it at 4th and 2 near the goal line, because he's like, if we don't get it, I love the chances of what's going to happen next.
Well,
two plays later, Justin Jefferson's doing the gritty. So Kyle thought that the defense was going to dominate the way that it usually does, and it didn't. So, that's all the concert. The whole thing is a concert. The whole thing is always a concert. I know we love to pick out one person or two people and freak out on them. Whole thing's a concert, and it didn't work real well yesterday. It didn't work together.
Yeah, before we go to the phones, just to respond to you, Grandy, I think that 4th and 3 at the 45 is almost a no-brainer, because you're too close to punt and you're too far to kick a field goal.
Are you too close to punt?
At the 45?
Well, put that thing down at the 9 yard line and let's go.
Well, you can, or you could do what Minnesota did. And you want to talk about breaks. The Minnesota punt team, where they had it downed, and then what's his face just stumbles into the end zone, and you get the ball back at the 20.
You could do what Houston did too, and just line up your garden variety 60 yard field goal and kick that.
Yeah.
No problem.
Kyamie Fairbairn.
It's crazy what kickers can do now. It's crazy.
Yep.
Like, we're old enough to remember when anything north of 50 yards was like, dude, this is a long one. Guys, now, Fairbairn's lining up from 59 yards, and it's going through the middle of the goalpost.
Chip shot.
It's like, it's got 10 yards to spare. I joked about this last night. How many years away are we from you get the ball on the opening drive? They kick it into the end zone. All right, we go out to the 30. All right, ready? You go 3 and out. All right, kick team. Here comes the field goal kicker. Just line up for an 87-yarder. Boop! 3-0. Gained 0 yards. Like, that sounds ridiculous, but this idea, these 60-yard field goals, you never even used to try that.
Yep.
Dudes are booting it through with 10 yards to spare. It's like when the
cowboy kicker is ridiculous.
He's insane.
It's like,
they use him a lot because they don't score touchdowns. But anyway.
He, like, the way he approaches the ball, it's like 58 yarder, and it's like he's just kind of flipping it.
Yeah.
Like a sand wedge. It's crazy.
How about Dave in Fresno? Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Mr. Willard.
Yeah.
You said earlier you don't want
two sides of the fence. You don't want on Tuesday after the Jets game, we're the best team, and then Monday, today, we're the worst team.
Right.
I agree with that. I would also like that same energy with Brock Purdy. We can't say we're doom and gloom without Christian McCaffrey, but in the same breath, oh, Brock is a top five quarterback. Because I tell you what they don't do with Lamar or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Burrow, if their running back is missing or players missing, they're still going to point to the quarterback. So we can't look at Brock and say, oh, yeah, he's a top five quarterback, but then give an excuse because you're missing McCaffrey, which we all agree is a great player, probably their biggest offensive weapon. But if you're a top five quarterback, it's a different ball game. If you're going to sit at the big boy table, there's no excuse because you still have the greatest coach of all time, Shanahan. You still have all your other weapons there. Okay, I'm not saying they lost yesterday because of Brock. I'm just saying we need to be consistent with that. If we're going to anoint him a top five quarterback.
But I would argue no one's doing that, Dave. Dave, you're putting words in our mouth on that one. And maybe you're not talking directly to us. I've never called Brock Purdy a top five quarterback. I don't really, it doesn't matter to me. Brock is, for me, this is my opinion, is good enough. I think he's really good. I don't think he's Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, or Lamar Jackson. I don't think he has to be in order to get paid. In fact, the top five quarterbacks who are getting paid right now in the NFL are none of those guys. Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, and Trevor Lawrence are the top paid quarterbacks in the game. I think Brock is certainly at least as good as those guys, if not better. So I'm always sort of like hesitant right now with that phrase, Dave, same energy, because a lot of people use that to be like, well, if you're going to say this, then you've got to say that over there. And I don't. I don't. I think the Niners are a lesser entity without Christian McCaffrey. I think they'd be even more a lesser entity without Brock Purdy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, he's their starting quarterback. Yeah, of course they'd be left without Brock. I'm just saying, even with Dak, they lose, it's all on Dak. Trevor Lawrence loses on Trevor. Like, if Jordan Love loses, it's on Jordan Love. With the Niners, it's like, well, you know, they're missing the left tackle, or the receiver's rusty. It's always an excuse, is what I'm saying. It's like, I like Brock. I think he's good. I think he's good enough to win with, and I'm not saying he's the reason we lost. I'm just saying, if we're going to treat him like one of the, you know, better quarterbacks, he's not without blame.
Well,
the last point,
go ahead, Dave.
You know, I was just going to say, you know, people are upset. It's not that the season's over. I think we went into the game yesterday with the better team, with the better coach. And that was all the talk all off season, that this is still a great team and we have one of the premier coaches, and they laid an egg. Okay, and that's why people are calling they're disappointed. That doesn't mean the season's over. Doesn't mean they're all bums. It's just that it was not something we were, you know, expecting. Especially they're missing some key weapons on the offense too. And it's
no, Sam that's Darnold. Yeah, Dave. You know, Dave, we got to cook, man. Thank you very much. You made your point, and it's a fair one. Of course, yeah, they laid an egg. You thought 17-0? Like, if you're going to go, well, they've got the better roster, the better coach, well, I could argue then that if that's all that you need, then you win all the games.
I thought 5-0,
so the Chiefs,
to be honest.
And I didn't.
I thought 5-0.
I felt 4-1, and now I don't even want to think about the Cardinal game. It's too far away. I think they should win this weekend. I think they should win next weekend. And then let's see who's healthy and what's going on after that.
Sure. The Cardinal game looks a little bit more daunting. Well, it looks a little bit more formidable than it did. And the Ram game looks a little bit, quote, easier than it did. But I'm still focused on yesterday before we get to the Ram game.
And a lot more of your phone calls coming up. But I also want to address this idea that, like, okay, so whenever all the other quarterbacks lose, it's on them. No, it's not. Who's saying that? Social media? That's like, if that's your take, it's a lazy one. There's no one person that lost the football game yesterday. Watch the game closer than that. Let's have a conversation about the whole picture instead of just screaming about the coach or the quarterback. We can be better than that. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. It's Willard and Dibbs.